keep that going right there. Miriam and I have been watching a lot of TV together here lately together. And we was watching Fred Sanford the other day. And they was having the talent show. Some of the older cats in here know what I'm talking about. They was having the talent show down at the thing. And Lamont got to singing his part, Scooby-Doo-Bop-Doo-Doo. And they was tap dancing. And then the other cat came out, and he got to tap dancing. And Fred got so excited, but he couldn't tap dance. And I don't know about nobody else, but I felt like Fred right there when they was hitting that oh, 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 oh. And I just had to have a Fred Sanford movie because Fred came out and he just said. Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. You got to be able to have fun in the house of the Lord. Amen. Listen, it is. Thank you so much. It's children's church today. Children's church. Youth church today. Youth church. Amen. We bless God for all of our visitors with the children and the youth. Amen. Our youth brought youth. Amen. Praise God. We are excited about that. I want to tell you something that happened yesterday. I jumped on Facebook because we were finishing up the fast, and we've not been on social media, but I knew that the Lord wanted his house in order, so we had to do what we done during offering. And what blessed my heart was, I said, it's going to be a very important day. It's a deep day. I need you at the Unity Worship Center. If you can be there, you really need to be there. And I got a text from Sister Kim, and she said, Whitney wants to know if she can get a ride from me because she's trying to get to the church because she doesn't want to miss whatever it is that's going on in the house of the Lord. It blessed my heart so much because many of you don't know the trials, the tribulations, the struggles, the fights that Whitney has had to endure in life, amen? And for this place to mean so much to her, the house of the Lord to mean so much to her, that immediately when she saw that post go up, because I had neglected to say today, she was thinking something was going on yesterday, and if she didn't do anything else, she had to be in the house of the Lord. And I just want to thank God for that, amen, because that shows me her growth in God, amen? Amen. My heart is overjoyed today. I have one of my mothers is in the house, amen. Me and one of the baddest preachers in the land, we share a special lady, amen. And she is in the house today. So my Ma Angela is in the house. And I think, come on, let's give God a hand clap, amen. Yeah. And so, I'm excited, amen. Today I want to talk to you real quickly from the sermon series entitled Focused 2023. Focused 2023. And as we journey deeper into our series, we pray that the Holy Spirit will be with us, that you leave here a little more focused than what it was that you came today. Amen. I believe that over the last 3 weeks, there has been an absolute confrontation towards our focus and a challenge to be more focused on the things of God. And I think that this challenge has been more direct than any other time in our lives. If after leaving the last 3 Sundays, you found yourselves still going through some of the hell, some of the frustrations and issues that you were dealing with in 2022, might I suggest that the problem is no longer what you are going through it about or who you are going through it with, but rather what and who you are still focused on. Focus is interesting because in order to really consider yourself focused on something, that something has to be studied. It has to be observed. In fact, a working definition for this church for the word focus is to give a lot of attention, time, effort, etc., to one particular area of a business and knowing exactly what you want to achieve. And so even just through this series, I am coming to find out that my focus requires me to handle and channel my way of thinking. I have to take control and stock of how much time that I am giving my mind to something. And then I have to survey my life in that particular area that I'm focusing on to see if the time that I am spending on that topic of my life is bearing any fruit. This is critical. And contingent upon how the fruit is producing in that area, I understand how I need to adjust my focus in that area. You understand what I'm saying to you? And I need you to understand that there are two types of fruit that the Bible talks about, and yet there is a third fruit by default. There are two fruits in the Bible that Jesus himself talks about, but yet there is a third fruit by default. Matthew chapter 7, verses 16 through 18, we find the Messiah saying, you can identify them by their fruit. You want to underscore that, or you just want to write that down, even if you don't have your Bible. You can identify them by their fruit. You don't need anybody to tell you about them. You don't really need to listen to what they're talking about. Just watch the fruit. Amen? Jesus says, you can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree, well, it can't produce good fruit. So we see by the words of Jesus that there is a good fruit and a bad fruit. But there is a third fruit that happens possibly more than the good and bad fruit combined. And that would be, watch this, no fruit at all. And this is a fruit that I believe holds many hostage far more than even bad fruit. And that is simply because no fruit wastes your time. No fruit is what wastes your time. And the reason that no fruit is so successful is because no fruit, watch this, it happens smoothly. And it usually takes a while that you give thought or consideration that a particular area of your life isn't producing any fruit, yet has been stealing and stealing and stealing moments of your life. Let me say this, beloved. One of the worst things that can happen or that you can allow to happen is for someone or something to waste your time. And the reason that wasted time is such an egregious act is because it is the one thing. Time is the one thing that you can never get back. And time is such a precious commodity because it is within time that everything happens or does not happen. Let me take it deeper. Were you ever supposed to meet someone at a certain time to do a certain thing, and you get to where you're going and maybe 5, 10, and sometimes 20 minutes later they contact you and let you know that they aren't going to be able to make it? Understand that in that instance, time has been wasted in several different ways. One, if I knew you wasn't going to make it, I could have used that particular time to schedule something else that needed handling in my life. And not only was the time slot for that moment wasted, I had to prepare to get there. I got dressed for that instance, depending whatever the meeting was for. may have dictated how I was going to be dressed for that meeting. And not only that, I had to get from where I was to where we agreed to be when we met. And if that meeting wasn't at my home, and most likely it never will be, I wasted the time it took just to get there. Now, for the person who has wasted your time, most times they haven't given consideration to your time. They really don't have a respect for your time. Thus, it is no big deal for them to waste it by canceling on you. And wasted time, I want you to catch this, write this down. Wasted time is an indication of broken focus. Wasted time is an indication of broken focus. Anytime that time has been wasted in your life, that is an indication of broken focus on the part of you or the person who has wasted your time. And some might be saying it's a canceled appointment, you know, that may have rearranged just a couple of hours in your life. Really that deep? Is it really that important? And my answer would be, ask the person who's on their sick bed and they know that death is around the corner, and they will let you know how important those couple of hours really are. Have a court date where you know that you 9 times out of 10 ain't gonna walk out of the courtroom. Or have went to court and be final sentenced, and you're going to have to turn yourself in the next couple of weeks, and you'll begin to understand how important that couple of hours really is. And so again, let me say it again. Let me repeat myself. Even just through this series, I'm coming to find out that focus requires me to handle and channel my way of thinking. I have to take control and stock of how much time I'm giving my mind to something. And then I have to survey my life in that particular area and that I'm focusing on to see if that time that I'm spending on that topic of life is bearing me any fruit. And contingent upon how the fruit is producing in that area, I understand that I need to readjust my focus in that area. Now, please understand that it is possible to successfully focus on several different things in your life at one time. But what I am learning to get out of the habit is multitasking when it comes to the important things in my life. And I know that you've been taught over the years the importance of being able to multitask. And I have no problem with multitasking if I'm just returning a fun text with a friend, eating some lunch and watching the game. See, because I do not deem any of that to be crucial. But what I will never do again is try to budget my bills and look at my daughter's report card while trying to watch a movie with the family during the time that we've designated to be family time. See, all three of those things are far too important for me to be multitasking them. See, because if my focus isn't on point when budgeting the bills, there is a chance that something is going to be budgeted incorrectly, which is going to shift my money in a negative way. If even just a little bit, I can't afford me not to know what I'm working with. Now, I know that some of y'all in here are balling out of control, but the way my money is set up, one slip at the budgeting and I might be hit for weeks. If I'm not focused, then I'm not seeing the progress or the decline of my daughter's academic standing. And if there is an area of concern that needs my attention that will ensure her being all that she is supposed to be in the world, and I miss it, then she's going to miss it, and that's going to cost her down the road. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16, and this is our focal verse today, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Lord, have mercy. And so in this verse, the Apostle Paul is writing this verse to young Timothy, his spiritual son. And what he is really saying is, man, stay focused. This is what he's saying. He says, stay true to what's right for the sake of your own salvation. Whitney, can I get the first part of that verse? When he says, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. He says, pay attention to how you're living and pay attention to what it is that you're being taught. You understand what I'm saying to you? And he tells you why you need to pay attention. He says, because your salvation is contingent upon it, but not just your salvation, those who are connected to you. Lord, have mercy. And so in this verse, the Apostle Paul, he's telling him to stay focused. Now get this. May I suggest a cold reality in here today that many of you aren't going to like, but if you're honest, you will have to agree that it's true. And that is, many of you come here Sunday after Sunday. Some say amen, meaning you agree or you go along with what's being said. You write down some notes and you decide, you know what, this is a good teaching. But because as soon as you leave here, you go back to a lifestyle that is, watch this, that is spiritually and kingdom of God illegal. Spiritually and kingdom of God illegal. Lord, have mercy. And inconsistent with the lesson that you just received, because your focus is more fixated on the world, your flesh, leading you to the ways of the enemy. Oh, God. As soon as you leave here, let me say it again. You go back to a lifestyle that is spiritually and kingdom of God illegal. It ain't just illegal, it's kingdom of God illegal. Lord, have mercy. See, cussing somebody out ain't naturally illegal. It's just morally wrong. But when you are a child of the king, cussing somebody out is kingdom of God illegal. You understand what I'm saying to you? And as you continue on, though you receive this teaching, you become fixated on the world and your flesh leading you to the ways of the enemy. Let me be very clear, beloved. The ways of the world in your flesh will always lead you to be operating in the ways of the enemy. Amen? Ain't no way around that. Ain't no way around it. That's why the Apostle Paul said, ain't no good in my flesh. Ain't nothing good in my flesh. He was perplexed, Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through. He said, man, I what I want to do, what I know is the right thing to do, I can't do it. But the thing that I don't want to do, the thing that I can't stay away from, the thing that I hate to do is the one thing that I can't stay away from. And he says, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to save me from this body of death? He was perplexed because somewhere in his makeup, there was a breakdown in focus. So what happens is you come Sunday after Sunday, and then you go back out to the everything that you was into before you got here, and you don't pay close enough attention to the teaching to really see where you needed to make the necessary adjustments to have peace, to have joy, to be able to smile and it not be fake because you're going through so much in your personal life. Can I ask you a question? Ain't you tired of smiling and it ain't real? It ain't no worse facial feature that you can have than a smile that's trying to hide the hell that you're going through on the inside. Amen. That's why in 23, you got to surround yourself with real people in your life. People who don't always need you to be something that you can't be because of what it is that you're going through. I need people in 23 in my life that if I'm not feeling good, guess what? I'm not going to fake it. I'm not going to try to fix it. I'm not going to fix it for you. I'm not going to fix my face. If I'm going through it, Lord have mercy. I've got to be free in this relationship to be able to be who and what and where I really am. Lord, have mercy. Get this. Our ministry here at the Unity Worship Center is geared, if you haven't caught it by now, it is geared at challenging you to change your focus, thus change your mind. Because as long as you continue to focus on what you've been focusing on, there will be no change of mind. And if your mind doesn't change, then guess what? Your life cannot change. Let me say that again, because that is crucial. If you will not change what you are focusing on, do you hear me? Do you hear me? See, stay focused. We can lose focus. It's just people walking down the steps. And everybody, like you've seen a mutant or something. Like they flew through the sanctuary. You know what I'm saying? I guess they didn't even make noise walking down the sanctuary. Everybody was still just, you see how easy it is to lose focus? That's in church. That's why the man of God is literally speaking about focus. What's your odds out there in the world? Now, I want to see how many of you are going to be real. How many of you got lightweight distracted? Just put your hands in there. It's real. It's cool. Now, if that in the house of the Lord can lightweight distract you, how easy is it for Satan's strategies to distract you in the world? You know, the major cause for many of us not being everything that we're supposed to be in the kingdom of God, it's not just distraction, it's demonic distraction. There's a difference. Demonic distraction. Lord have mercy. So let me say this part again, because you was distracted when I said it, and it was really a good point. Y'all ready? Everybody good? It's just people. Nothing supernatural. Amen. Y'all ready? Here we go. Because as long as many of you continue to focus on what you have been focusing on, there will be no change of mind. And if your mind doesn't change, then your life cannot change. It's not that it will not change. That's a given. I want you to understand how focus can keep everything on lock. If you're not going to change your focus and you're not going to change the way you think, your life cannot. It has no right to change. It is totally against logical thinking to think, I'm going to focus on Kevin. I'm going to focus on Kevin, but I'm going to sit in the chair. As long as I'm focusing on Kevin, I'm not going to sit on the chair. Not safely anyway. And as long as your mind is caught up with things that are contrary and inconsistent with the will of God, you will not walk life, not kingdom-wise anyway. So I want you to catch this. So you come to church broken and you leave broken. You come to church unfulfilled and you leave unfulfilled. You come to church discombobulated and you leave discombobulated. Not because the word isn't going forth, but because your focus isn't where it should be while you're here. You understand what I'm saying to you? Your focus is not where it should be while you're here. Listen, one of the biggest problems with people coming to church is they bring the world in with them. I remember my grandmama used to say when she was great walking church, she said, I'm great walking this church, and everything that I'm going through is out here. I'm getting ready to focus on the Lord. Today what we do is we bring everything with us, and we like it. We like it because we don't leave it when we walk out. We make sure to pick hell up and take it with us. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so this makes you vulnerable to Satan's plans of getting you to leave this church. Watch this. Because since nothing has changed in your life since going here, then unity must be one of the reasons why everything ain't going well. That's what they do. Yeah. Yeah. This is the reason many of you are always talking about moving out of state for a fresh start and a new beginning. But baby, the problem with that is you got to take you with you wherever you go. and so if you was, because you know everybody like Atlanta. So if you was unfocused here, moving to Atlanta ain't going to reinvent you. Amen. You ain't focused going to Atlanta, gonna tear you out the frame. I was in Atlanta not too many months ago, and I said, come, Miriam, walk close to me. With all my holiness, baby, stay close to me. Amen. Because if my mind, Lord, have mercy, if my mind happens to go somewhere, so everybody's antidote for getting their life together is, I'm just going to move out of state. Well, unless you're going to leave your mind behind, moving out of state don't do you no good. And so if you are unfocused here, moving to Atlanta isn't going to reinvent you. It isn't going to better you. It isn't going to stop you from being foolish or keep you from being played, used, and done wrong. Atlanta can't do that. Only your refocusing on what matters can do that. Only a change of mind, a change of heart, a real relationship with God and being focused on the things of God can do that. Some of y'all might as well just go ahead and unpack your U-Hauls in your mind. Stop fooling yourself with this ideology that if you leave, you will be better. I don't care how big the new city is. I don't care how anointed the new church is. I don't care how much money the new job pay. And I don't care how the new boo make you feel. If you have not refocused your thinking and changed your mind, then you can be around all that new, but sooner or later, that same old you is going to destroy it. Lord, help your people to get focused. Satan wants you to go and jump into new things with an old mentality so that when it doesn't work, guess what you begin to believe? Something is really wrong with me. But you don't really come to that conclusion until after you blame everybody else. They crazy down here in Atlanta too. No, you crazy. Lord, have mercy. Paul says in 1 Timothy 4 and 16, keep a close watch on how you live and on your teaching. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Takiyah, that's very powerful for you, young new mother. Stay true to what is right, not just for your salvation, but for the salvation of that baby. Because that baby ain't going to learn Jesus through me. That baby going to learn Jesus through you. That baby ain't going to learn salvation through me. You understand, Christy? That baby going to learn salvation through you and Reuben. So you have to stay focused on what is right. You understand me, Howard? That baby is going to learn God through in you and that beautiful mother. But she's not going to learn it from me. You see? And the problem is that in the 21st century westernized churches, y'all keep wanting to put on the pastor what's your responsibility. And not only that, you keep wanting to blame the pastor for where you are. That's why I always trip when pastors fall. When I fell, everybody, it was his fault. What I eat don't make you use a restroom. Your mess up was because of you. It ain't had nothing to do with me. You understand what I'm saying to you? So we got to get out of this blame game and refocus. Amen? Now, let me show you how people lose focus. I said, when I fell, and everybody went, I wonder what he did. Get focused. Lord, have mercy. So I want you to get this. Not only do you have to be focused on you have to be focused on what it is that you're being taught. And then you have to be focused about applying what it is that you're being taught. And a couple of scriptures that you should be used to by now here at Unity to support what I'm saying is in Joshua and in the book of Acts. And I know, when I said Joshua, some of y'all say, is saying stuff like, why he keep using the same old scriptures so much? He's been using them same scriptures for years. And my response is, because you haven't. I keep using the same scriptures because you haven't. And because you haven't used these scriptures at all, thus you are still hemmed up in certain areas of your life, wondering why you come to church so much, yet nothing has changed. It's because you haven't eaten what's on your plate, so it hasn't had the chance to change you. The word of God is full of nutrients. In the natural, we eat food and drink water. When we do that, we're gaining all types of different nutrients that are beneficial for our different body systems. So it is in the spiritual that when we eat the word, focus on that word, it fills us spiritually with nutrients that are beneficial for our different life situations. The word, the teachings will keep you healthy. In fact, in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 22, it says, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are what? Life to those who find them, and what? Health to all their flesh." You see that? Health to your flesh. That flesh will have you sick, man. Anybody know what I'm talking about? That flesh will have you sick. But the word of God, the wisdom of God, will bring that sin-sick flesh into healing. Lord, have mercy. So allow me to repeat myself again. So I want you to get this. Not only do you have to be focused on you, you have to be focused on what you are being taught, then you have to be focused about applying what you're being taught. And the two scriptures that support that are this, and we're almost done, chapter 1, verse number 8. And it says this, "Study this book of instruction continually." Now get that right there. The book of instruction. Instructions tell you how to operate whatever it is that's within your grasp. Amen? So when we're talking about the word of God, he's saying, study this book of instruction. Instruction on what? Instruction for life. Now here's the craziest oxymoron that I see, is that we come to church, but we still live natural. We come to church, but we don't use the book that was built to lead us, to next level us, to get us where we're supposed to be, to bring us peace and joy and all of these things. You understand what I'm saying to you? We come to church, we hear it, we listen to it, but then we ignore it. And we're trying to figure out why it's not working for us. It's kind of silly for you to sit here and go, 1 + 1, well, I'm going to write down that's 3. 1 + 1, 3. You see what I'm saying? It's kind of like going to an ATM and trying to grab $20 out when you ain't put $20 in. And so as a consequence, you live life in an insufficient way. You understand what I'm saying to you? The book of instruction, this teaches us how to live. God is so awesome in his giving, he gave us a manuscript on how to live, step by step. You ain't got to guess none of it. You ain't got to try to figure none of it out. You ain't got to try to work it out in your head and come to a conclusion. He loves you so much, not only did he give you his son, he gave you his wisdom. Oh, Lord. And he says this, what is it, Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27, I believe he says, I liken people to two things. There ain't but two types of people in this world, the wise and the foolish. And he says, and contingent upon if you do what I tell you to do, it lets me know and it lets you know where you are. He says, those that hear these sayings of mine and obeys them, I liken him to a wise man. And when the storms of life come and beat upon your house, guess what? Your house stands solid. He says, but then there's another type of a person. And that's the person that hears these sayings of mine, does not do them, and when those same storms, the storms ain't got no greater, they ain't beating upon your house no more than what it was for the wise man. But when they beat upon your house, because your house was not built on the rock, on God's sayings, they was built on your thought, your intellect, your logic, what your people think, what Facebook told you, everything but the word of God, he says, great, he says, you fall, and not just fall, but great is the fall. You know what that great is the fall part is? Not do you just fall, but everything connected to you takes a loss. So he tells us in Joshua 1 and 8, he says, study this book of instruction continually. Now, the problem we have in the church today is that we have more people that study Facebook than they study the Bible. We have more people that are on Facebook continually than they are in the Word continually. And you wonder why you are depressed continually. Huh? Have anybody ever read a Facebook story? They ain't kin to you or nothing, but you read it and it did something to you. Set you wrong. It just made you feel some type of way, right? You ever read a Facebook story and somebody told about a situation in their life and you ain't even really close to them? I don't know why you call them friends. They really ain't your friend. You really don't know them, but you accept a friend request. Thirsty. And so Lord have mercy. And so you read the story and you said stuff like this. I wish somebody would. Now you got a chip with people in your life about a story that you read and you don't even know who those people are. Continually. But the Bible says, read the Bible continually. Watch this. And you will be blessed with peace and joy and long suffering. And you understand what I'm saying to you? You'll be able to walk this walk the way you're supposed to walk it. Watch this. And you'll walk it straight, not crippled. Lord have mercy. So it says, meditate on it day and night. So just in case, come on, it's just a baby, a beautiful baby. Come on back here. And the baby's all right. Baby ain't got to go nowhere. No, the baby's fine right where the baby's at. Meditate on it what? Day and night. So just in case you don't get continually, ain't God good? He said, so just in case you don't want to look up what the word continually means, day and night, all the time, meditate on the word, not on your circumstance. Meditate on the word, not on your relationship. Meditate on the word, not on your money. Meditate on the word day and night. And be sure, watch this, be sure, because the formula don't work unless you are sure that you are doing everything that the word called for. The formula has to be followed. Did you hear me? The formula has to be followed. I love me some Kool-Aid. Lord, have mercy. I love me some Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid, water, sugar, Stephen's happy. That's what it equals. Pastor's happy. Kool-Aid plus water, no sugar, equals pastor's not happy. The formula has to be followed. And watch this. So the word, apply it, equals prosperity. Watch this. The word plus playing church equals unhappiness, discontentment, confusion, depression, brokenness, life hanging, thirsty, problem. Never satisfied. Mood spoiler. Headed to hell. Watch this. So you go 0-2. Hell on earth and then you go to hell. Hell on earth, then you go to hell. There is no way to be 1-1. You either winning and you winning, are you losing and you dying eternally? Give me the next one. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 and 43, I do believe. Here's the second word that the scripture that supports what I'm telling you. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' doctrine, or to the teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals and to prayer. And because they did this, this is what happened. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So some of you are saying off the dribble, okay, so the believers gave themselves and devoted themselves to the doctrine of the apostles or to the pastors or to the teaching, but it was the apostles and the pastors that actually did the signs and miracles and wonders, right? Cool. But who benefited from it? The believers. Huh? The believers. Do you understand what I'm saying? So even though the believers didn't perform the signs, miracles, and wonders, but they can. They can. But in this text, they didn't, but they benefited from it. So, Howard, if I do a miracle, and the miracle is healing, and you sick, you don't really care that you didn't do the miracle, do you? You're just happy that you healed. Can I tell you what the 21st century miracle that's necessary for the church in the Western part of the world? We live right. That's a miracle today. That we live right, thus we experience joy. Isn't it sad that the miracle today is church folk actually be church folk? Church folk actually be obedient to the word of God. See, because in closing, I want you to get this. You will never be able to be in church, obey the laws of the world, and come out prosperous. So don't come back. Yeah, I know they don't tell you that. Don't come back if you're going to do you. This ain't going to help you. This is cheap entertainment. This is going to do nothing for you and nothing for those that are connected to you. Don't come back if you're going to say something like, I don't care what he's talking about. I'm going to do me. Then do you out there and quit blaming us for where you not. See, because pimps will have you come to church not worried about how you live when you leave here. Just put something in the plate. But pastors will tell you, I don't want to watch you play yourself. Just don't come back if you don't want to do this. It don't magically happen. 1 + 1 is the only way you get 2. You understand what I'm saying to you? There has to be a formula. Give me the focal verse, Whitney. We're done. 5 minutes. We're out. The focal verse. I'm sorry. The focal verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 16. Watch this. He said this. He said, now keep a close watch on how you live and on your teachings. Stay true to what is right for the sake of your own salvation. Watch this. You can't live and get me in. Watch this. You can't live and get your kids in. But Pastor, you said that their salvation has a lot to do with how I get down. Yeah, because you're their example. You understand? And then he says, because for the sake of your own salvation and the salvation of those who hear you. Now, I want to show it to you in the Amplified and we out. Amplified version says this. Watch this. This is powerful right here. Pay close attention to yourself. You hear that? Well, that'll be another miracle. Think I'm lying? That's why 1 Thessalonians 4:11 said, study to live a quiet life and mind your business. That's what it said in the Bible. You know why Paul said he was telling the Thessalonian church to mind their business? Because they was meddling. And as long as you meddling in somebody else's business, you can never make sure yours is tight. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Amen? Pay close attention to yourself. Concentrate on your personal development. You catch that? Some of you ought to screenshot that one, take a picture of that one. Concentrate on your personal development. So this is why I journal every day. And you know why? Because this week I will go back and versus it towards last week and see where I grew. Because anybody ever got issues that last longer than a week? And in those issues, there's going to be different segments in those issues. And you get to, you know, you lost it when the issue first occurred, right? Wasn't nothing saved about your behavior when it first happened, right? Then you came home woosahed and realized that how you was operating wasn't saved. So now you got to watch the development through that issue. You get it? So Paul says, he says, pay close attention, concentrate on your personal development and to your teaching. He said, don't just read it, concentrate on it. Can I show you what concentration is? Concentration is when you're reading the Bible and you see a word that you don't know and you don't just keep reading because you can say it. You actually stop, get the dictionary out and say, oh, so that's what that means. It makes it all mean more to you. You see what I'm saying to you? Now, to tell the truth and shame the devil, how many of y'all done read a book? No, y'all didn't know what the word was because you said the word. You didn't let it slow you down. You just kept reading. But if you'd have figured out what that word was, it could have meant everything. It might have made the whole book different, not just the chapter. It might have made the whole book different, right? So he says, I want you to concentrate on your personal development and to your teachings. Concentrate. Read it. What did he say in Joshua? Meditate on it. Meditate. Concentrate. Meditate. Focus. Somebody say focus. Focus on your teachings. Persevere in these things. So get this. Why does he say persevere? Because it ain't always going to be easy. It ain't always going to be easy. Just because he gives us the blueprint doesn't mean that it's easy to do the blueprint. You see what I'm saying to you? So he says, persevere through what it is that you're learning. You know why you got to persevere through what it is that you're learning? Because for so long, you had learned something else. And now you're trying to cut. Anybody, you ever come to church thinking one thing, and then it's brought up, and all of a sudden you leave, and you got to battle with that because it wasn't what you was always told? Like, you know, crazy stuff like once saved, always saved. The devil is a lie. I know I'm going to heaven because they said once saved, always saved. Show me that in the Bible. It's not there, baby. He said, be ye holy. Come out from what ain't clean and be holy because I'm holy. And if you come out from what's clean, from what's not clean, I'll receive you. But get this, I don't receive you till you stop hanging with what ain't right. Oh, Lord, that just messed up everybody Sunday, didn't it? I'm not going to receive you till you come out from what ain't right. Now go through your list of friends. Guess what just happened? You was just given a decision. I'm not going to receive you until you come out from what ain't right. Because guess what? What ain't right is what's got you down. And I didn't bring you into, I didn't let my son die so you could be down. So you come out from what ain't clean. And I'll receive you. And he says, I'm not as a partner, not as a homie. I just ain't going to rock with you. He says, I'm going to receive you as a son and a daughter. Some of you got family members that won't claim you. Some of us are victims of deadbeat daddies, right? He says, if you'll just come out from what ain't right, I receive you as my own. This is what ministers in training, this is what's called tension in the text. Why? Because now you leave home, now you leave church with a really serious decision. Because he said, come out from what ain't clean. Come out from who ain't right in your life. Now you have a decision to make. Think about that. Everybody's looking at one of them in their head right now. What you gonna do? Them or God? Is it that deep? You tell me. If you had your son die, the most horrible death ever to happen on the cross, would it be that deep to you? You tell me if it's that deep. And you know why these teachings are hard? And you know why I might not see some of you ever again? Because this ain't no game. And at the other church, we just get to clap and dance, and he jumps around and screams, and we go home. Today, you're leaving with a decision. You're going to get received. Are you going to be received, or are you going to reject God? Preserve in these things. Hold to them. You know why he says hold to them? Because it's hard. When he says hold to, what he's saying is hold on to it. I know it's rough. I know I just said, what do you choose? Who do you choose? How do you choose? I know that's hard, but hold on to what I'm telling you and it'll bring you through. Yeah. Hold on to what you've always known and it gets worked out. See, and you know that. That's the part, right? I know. Great man of wisdom right here. He knows. That's the part, ain't it? But it's the holding on that's rough. Anybody could read it and get an understanding. It's actually, oh man. But I gotta do it. Ain't that? It'd be real good stuff. Real good information. If I wasn't expected to do it. You don't get to do this. Did you hear that? That's talking to you, ain't it? No, it's talking to you too. You know, we love to do that in church. Because we forget that it's talking to us too. So you got to persevere in it. You got to hold on to it. And that's why people that hold on to it, when we was having a conversation the other day, you said, I'm just at a point in my life where I don't care about what nobody think about me. Why? Because I've had to hold on to it. You see what I'm saying? I was speaking of one of my favorite people on the planet, Shamika Body, in the office this morning. And I said, you know what I love about her? And someone said, what? I said, she just keeps trying. She just keeps holding on. And can I tell you, come here, Kev. Kevin's the Bible. He's the Word of God. He's the truth, right? And sometimes Reuben, come here real quick. Stand right there. Reuben, and he ain't seeing, but he's seeing today. He's just a symbolic right there. Stop right there. And Kevin's God, and sometimes you... Because watch this, sin gonna follow you all the way back in your ear. Why you don't want to. But if you can just, guess what? This forgives that moment away from you and then begins to build you up. Lazar, let yourself off the hook. Let yourself off the hook. I don't even know what's going on. God said, forgive you. I receive you. Yeah, it's crazy, but I receive you. All you got to do is just hold back onto it. You ain't even got to be real good grip. Sometimes you just got that. But as long as you just got that, every day we ain't. But as long as I'm persevering, holding on to, and wherever I'm going, whatever I'm going through, no matter how many's against me, as long as I'm just, all I need is that. Amen. Somebody give God a hand clap for the Bible. I want to talk to the person today that has had a hard time staying focused. And somehow, some way, the enemy has made you believe that because at times there's been lapses in your focus, breakdowns in your focus, that God is tired of you. He's sick of you. You getting on God's nerves. Nothing could be any further from the truth. But instead, he loves the way you just hold on. Because he understands, sometimes all I can do is hold on. So today, in this moment, right now, no matter who you are, where you are, where you are mentally, where you are emotionally, where you are spiritually, where you was last night physically, if you know you're just holding on, you're just holding on, I want you to come down and get you some prayer today. I want you to come down and let's pray for your strength. Let's pray for your grip today. Let's pray for your grip today. I'm just holding on. Used to be an old song they sung in the Baptist church that said, I'm just holding on. It gets hard sometimes. But I'm holding on, and I won't let go of my faith. Jesus himself said, if you have the faith just the size of a mustard seed, you can speak to your mountains. You can speak to your giants. You can speak to your issues. You can speak to your isms. Watch this. You can speak to yourself. And those problems, those issues, those dramas, those isms, those things that seem to follow you everywhere you go, he says they can be removed into the sea. Is it anybody in the building today that's tired of being hunted down by your proclivities, by your unhealthy habits, by your nasty attitude, by your inability to be decisive, not able to stick with one thing, and it feels like the hounds of hell are constantly, constantly chasing you down. I'm talking to the one today who feels like I'm on the brink of giving up. I'm on the brink of throwing in the towel. I'm tired of it. I'm sick of it. This can't be what he meant for me. Today, I want to find my grip. Today, I want to find my grip because I understand that if I can find my grip, I can find my peace. If I can find my grip, I can find my joy. If I can find my grip, I can find my smile. If I just leave with a grip on him today, the woman with the issue of blood, 12 long years, she said, if I could just touch something that's touching him, the hem of his garment, I ain't got to have a hand on him, but if I could just touch something that's touching him, I believe that I'll be made whole. It ain't about today. It's always about salvation. But this one right here, this altar call right here, and we're going to give you a chance to give your life to the Lord, but this altar call is for the ones that says, I'm saved, but I struggle. I'm saved, but I break down sometime. And then that breakdown, when I break down, the enemy uses it, and he uses me to feel shame, and he uses me to feel disappointed in myself, and He uses me, and he got me second guessing if I'm called and if I'm loved by God. And who could love somebody like me? Well, I come to tell you about a man. Every one of you, I come to tell you about a man named Jesus. That when he got on that cross, hallelujah, he got on that cross for you. Watch this, and he got on the cross. He got on it with patience. When he got on that cross, he knew that you wasn't going to do everything all right all the time. He got on that cross. He got on that cross for you. Yeah. Yeah. But, Pastor, ain't no buts in salvation. Ain't nobody. No, I got on the cross for you. But the way I feel about myself sometimes, I got on the cross for you. I stayed on that cross. I stayed on it. I stayed on it because, Lazarus, I knew there was going to be some days that you was going to want to give up. So I stayed on it so you could find your strength in me. I stayed on that cross so you could stay the way you know you're supposed to be. Yeah. But when it tells you I can't, he said, I stayed on the cross so you could know that you can. I stayed. Because I knew they was going to break your heart. I stayed. So when you couldn't hope in people, you could still hope in me. I stayed for you. I stayed. I stayed to fight every lie that the enemy feeds you. I stayed. I stayed. I stayed so that when you go forth like you've never went forth before. Because you know I stayed so that you could, so that you would. Lord, have mercy. I stayed. I stayed.